Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Hey, and I'm going to pick up on a show actually that I did last week. If you missed that, if you are new to the program, I'll tell you what we talked about there. This is part two actually in a two-part series. So we're going to wrap up that conversation today. I still have actually quite a lot to get through with you. I was very ambitious when I went into last week's show and I realized pretty early on, hey, this needs to be spread out. We need to take this across the course of two programs. So that's exactly what we're going to do. Now, if you missed it, what did we talk about? Well, the topic of last week's show was, in fact, protecting yourself in a real estate transaction. And if you've been listening to the program for any amount of time, you know that Lifestyles Unlimited, we are members, we are investors, and I'm a member at Lifestyles Unlimited, have been since March of 2012. And what we do is we invest in residential rental real estate. That's how we achieve that financial freedom that I said we're working on as part of the show opener. And typically, we're either investing in single-family rental houses, maybe duplex, triplex, quad, file that under single family from a financing perspective, or we're investing in multifamily apartment communities, and that's 5 units and greater. And it doesn't matter which path you go, there are certain processes that are involved. Now, of course, on the multifamily side, you could simply be a passive investor. And I now, after many years as a single family investor, I am a passive investor in multifamily and a number of investment opportunities. I've joined those, basically put my money in, and that's all I do. And I wait for the returns. I wait for that, what we call mailbox money. You can, of course, be more active and be the, what we at Lifestyles Unlimited call the lead investor that's putting that whole investment, that whole opportunity together and managing it. Or you could be somewhere in between and just do your own thing by yourself. Independently, just take down a small multifamily. We have a lot of members that do that very thing as well. And of course, I mentioned the single family side. And that's what, again, if you're new to the program, that's what my wife and I started doing with the guidance, the tutelage of Lifestyles Unlimited back in 2012. And we built our single family portfolio first, built up the capital. That's what we then used to start getting and moving ourselves into multifamily. And as part of the topic, protecting yourself in a real estate transaction, what we talked about last week on the show, what I did is I took this from the perspective of a single family investment, because that's what a lot of people start with. That's what we started with. And we've begun going down that single family timeline, that process that you follow. And it's not simply, typically you think protect yourself in a transaction. You're thinking transactionally, you're thinking about the closing, right? You're acquiring that property, but there's a lot more to that. And what we've looked at so far, and what we did is, if I just kind of break the timeline down very quickly, I don't want to dive into everything right now, but aside from building that education, right, having a plan first and foremost, so you know which direction you're going, where you're trying to get to, and the proper underlying education, mentorship as well is pivotal. It was for us anyhow. After that, you're getting more concretely into that single family process, that timeline. Number one, you're trying to find, make an offer on, contract on a house. And then you go to close. You use lending if you're following the Lifestyles model. You close at a title company. We talked about those items last week. And then you're going to move on to the process. You're going to renovate that house, because we are buying assets, houses that, and multifamily assets, in fact, as well, that are distressed. So they need typically some level of work. And we're going to renovate those, and we're going to rent those houses out in this example. And we're going to refinance as well, because when we buy, we talked about this last week, typically because the level of distress, physical distress on the asset, sometimes it's the seller that's distressed. They're in a hurry. They don't care because they inherited it. They just don't want this thing. in there, you know, nagging at them in the back of their mind. They're distressed sellers from a personal perspective, but often it's the asset. So we do need to go in and fix it up before we refinance into that conventional loan. So what do? We buy it with hard money, which is a type of bridge loan. So we renovate, we rent that thing out, and we refinance it. We're kind of doing all three of those at the same time, as it were. And then we hold. We're not flipping. We're not. This is not a short-term transaction. We're going to hold for maybe 3 to 5 years. And then we're going to divest that house. We're going to sell. We're going to go through disposition, it's commonly called. We're going to dispose of that asset. We're going to sell it. And then wash, rinse, and repeat. And we're not going to get into the five ways we make money here. We've talked about that before. But when I get to that level where I'm dispositioning, when I'm at that part of the timeline, I'm hopefully doing then a 1031 exchange and levering that part of the tax code to defer the capital gains taxes and roll that into maybe another two houses or three houses or some bigger investment opportunity. But that's not the course of our conversation today. I want to pick up where we left off. So we talked last week about the first couple of pieces of that process, which are finding the house, making an offer, contracting on it, and ways to protect yourself at that stage. And we talked about closing. Very important to close at a title company. We do use a lender. Typically hard money. Hey, sometimes the assets don't need a lot of work and you can go straight conventional. The best thing then is to sit down with pen and paper. I've bought houses where they could have been conventionally financed, but it made more sense to buy with hard money, even though there was a double close. When I sat down and put pencil to paper and looked at my returns, my cash out of pocket, buying with hard money, and then refinancing compared to going straight in with a conventional loan, I was better off with two closes. But we talked through that process and the importance of closing at a title company. If you missed any of that, go to our website, lifestylesunlimited.com. Click on the radio tab or the podcast tab, and you can hear that there. So moving forward now, we got the contract, we got the deal, we've got it closed. The next step in our process as we move down that single family timeline is renovating the house. Now, by the way, I want to go back actually one step. When I mention a hard money lender, and I'm going to bring this up right now with the concept of renovations, because when you go in to have that house done, you're not out there swinging a hammer yourself. If you're like I am or was when I started, I was working a full-time job. I didn't even have the knowledge to go in and lift a foundation. Forget about it. Any of the skilled trades, forget about it. That was all hired out. I leveraged other people's time and other people's knowledge to get it done. But how did I decide which vendor, which contractor to use? I want to bring that back to the lender side as well. We're going to take a quick break and pick this up on the other side, so stick around.
Your challenge is that you don't believe you can be rich, is that you don't believe you can retire within 5 years. That's half of your challenge. And until you can come up with that belief system, until you can reconcile that in your mind, you won't be willing to take the steps necessary to get there. So you need to get in here and meet some people.
Join us for the next free workshop and meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited that will share Del Walmsley's belief system and empower you to take the steps you need to be successful. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. You're listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. And on today's show, we're working through part two of a two-part series. And the title of that would be Protecting Yourself in a Real Estate Transaction. And we're looking at this. We're gonna come to the multifamily side here towards the end of the program, probably in the last segment. But we've been working our way through the single family timeline, the process. And I'm describing this whole thing. I mean, there are individual little transactions, of course, that occur throughout that process at various stages. But if you are a buy and hold investor, you're not simply flipping that. You're fixing it up and you're holding it for 3 to 5 years. And even that hold period you can view as a transaction of sorts. It's certainly part of the full timeline of that transaction when it comes to a single property. And if you missed any of last week's show or didn't catch any of it at all, go to lifestylesunlimited.com, click on the radio tab. And you can catch everything we talked about there. I'm not going to go into detail because that's all there. And that's part of the education, too. I've really dipped my toes a little bit into what you'll learn when you come to an education group like Lifestyles Unlimited. If you don't know this, Lifestyles Unlimited has been around for over 30 years. And I'm happy to say we've been, my wife and I, along with them for the ride for about 10 of those 30 years. We became members back in March of 2012, so we're coming up on our 10-year anniversary. In fact, when we're celebrating our 10-year anniversary, Lifestyles Unlimited will be hosting its Wealth and Passive Income Expo and Bus Tour 2022 down in Houston. That's going to be March 16th through the 19th of the coming year. And I want to mention that now because tickets, passes for that are on sale now. You can learn more if you go to wealthandpassiveincomeexpo.com. Now, if you have any questions for me on last week's show or anything we're going to get into now, feel free to send me an email. It's askandy@luinc.com. So we're getting to the stage in the process where we're renovating the house. And I did want to dovetail the notion of contractors and vendors, those third parties that you're going to work with a part of the process that we talked about last week, which is using hard money to close on that asset, commonly because we need to close fast or the repairs needed are such that we cannot go conventional. And it's important to know who you're working with. There are a lot of hard money lenders out there. Vendors, there are a lot of contractors out there. How do you know? How do you know who to go to? How do you know how to choose? I will tell you what I do as somebody that's been with Lifestyles Unlimited for 10 years now. First thing I do when I need a new vendor in some area that I haven't used before, I go out to the vendor portal, the vendor hub on the Lifestyles Unlimited website, and I see who's available there. And if you're looking for a hard money lender and you go out there, I'm going to tell you this, the people that you work with, you want to know, number one, that they understand the model that we're following. These vendors do. And you want to understand that they have your best interest in mind. We talked a little bit about the fiduciary aspect of working with a realtor, for example, with the realty team at Lifestyles Unlimited. You want to know that they have your interest in mind and at heart. I was talking with one of our hard money lenders just the other day, and he was telling me he is a member of the AAPL. What is that? That's the American Association of Private Lenders. And not only is he a member of that, but he's on the ethics committee. I was just floored. Now, I've used this guy for years. I didn't know that. It's like, okay, this guy is on the ethics committee. He has our best interest at heart. So I was really happy to hear that. And that just underscored. I mean, I knew this guy was a great guy and his company is a great company anyhow. But to hear that is just, I understand that the people that I'm pulling from that vendor hub are just great, great contractors, great lenders, et cetera, to work with. Moving forward now on our timeline, and it comes time to renovate the house. How do you choose those contractors? Well, I've just told you where I start. Of course, I talk with my investor network, which is another reason why I love to get out to the Lifestyles Unlimited case studies when they come to town or get on those virtually. So I can ask my fellow members, hey, who have you been using for interior paint? Who have you been using for foundation repair most lately? How did you like them, et cetera? So it's a good way to get that back channel, back alley information on these contractors. Of course, we have reviews of them on our vendor hub as well, which makes it very easy. But ultimately, you want to vet your contractors when it comes to protecting yourself, whether you're working with Lifestyles or doing this on your own outside. It's very, very important to protect yourself in any part of the transaction. And in this part, a big, big piece is simply vetting those contractors. Are they like that hard money lender, somebody that has my interest at heart? Or is that somebody when they tell me, hey, I need 50% down, general contractor, let's say, I need 50% down of the renovations up front. Can I trust that this guy is not going to run off with my cash before the job even starts? So to that end, again, you need to have that peer network where you can have that conversation and find out. You need to get recommendations. If you're talking to somebody that's new to you, a vendor, a contractor, a general contractor, GC, that's new to you, ask for recommendations, ask for references. A few years ago here at my personal house, we wanted to put up a fence. They still had the old builder. We still had the old builder's grade, initial fence that had been installed. It was weathered. It was lean and it was falling apart. I literally had it tied together with strings because that's what I can do at my own house. I do not do that at my rental properties. I said, it's finally time. So we talked. We talked to our investor network, looked on the vendor hub, and got those contacts and got some addresses and just simply drove around our area here to see those fences. And which did we like? Which turned out great? Those are the things you want to do. And we did that with, I think, four contractors. At a minimum, we'll tell you at Lifestyles Unlimited, get three bids. Right, you're going to get one that's high, you're going to get one that's low, we're going to get one that's in the middle. Which is the best to go with? We teach you how to handle that, but you want to get multiple bids to make sure you're in a decent ballpark. And again, above and beyond, vet those guys. And then ask the question, hey, are you insured? You want to make sure that they have liability coverage, liability insurance. What if one of their staff or employees falls off the roof, gets hit by falling equipment, whatever? You want that to be covered by their insurance policy. Do not be afraid to ask. And then they should give you that certificate of coverage. I've had no problem getting that in the past. If they hem and haw and drag their feet, well, maybe something's at issue there. Maybe there is a problem. And by the way, speaking of insurance, you should have it too. And make sure you have the right kind. You know, you may be doing a very light renovation. Maybe you didn't even have to go in with hard money because it's just a light lift. Maybe paint and carpet, very light rehab. Or maybe you're doing the other end of the spectrum, which is a very heavy lift. All the big five that we talk about: foundation repair, roof, plumbing, electrical, HVAC, plus all the cosmetics. Nothing wrong with that if you buy right and have the spread there, but you may have a very heavy lift at hand. What kind of insurance coverage should you have? Is it a vacancy policy? Is it builder's risk? I would tell you, I did an interview with one of our insurance brokers, Lee Siegel. He was on with us September 13th, 2020. I went and looked that up for you. He gives a very good discourse on the types of insurance and which type you should use. He talks about actual cash value versus replacement costs. That's more for the hold period. But thinking about the renovation time, is it builder's risk? What is it you need? And that's what you want to learn about as well. Give that show a listen. He explains things very well. And then file that under education. Okay, so we're renovating the house. I got one more item for you, and then we're going to talk about renting and refinancing when we come back. So stick around.
Wamsley on the economy and politics.
What happens if the economy turns around and goes back down now the Democrats are in power, or inflation becomes rampant and all of a sudden it becomes very difficult to do business? I was listening to an economist the other day, and he pulled out this chart of GDP. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. He said, tell me anywhere from 1950 to 2021 where the Democrats took power and where the Republicans took power. He said, point it out for me. And the truth of the matter is, you can't tell.
If you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what the politicians are going to do, or waiting to see what the economy's going to do, if you're trying to predict the future, stop. Politicians and the economy have no bearing on your success or failure. Only you do. Register for the next live online free workshop. We'll unfold the map to retirement in 5 years or less, regardless of what's going on in the world. It's the same proven strategies we've been using for 30 years through every political party and economic cycle you can think of. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. If you have any questions, you can send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. You're listening to part two in a two-part series. We talked last week about protecting yourself in a real estate transaction, hit a number of the first parts of the timeline that we follow when we're investing in a single-family house, when we're buying a house that needs work, in this example. And today we're getting through the rest of that timeline. And as you proceed along that timeline, at some point you're going to get to the point where you've closed and now it's time to renovate the house, and you have to have people in place to do that for you. If you're like I was when I started, I was working a full-time job. My wife was working a full-time job. We don't have the time to be out there overseeing and making sure people, let alone the knowledge. We simply didn't have the knowledge to make sure people were doing what they needed to do. We worked with general contractors, electrician, HVAC contractors, roofers. We built a team around us. We followed the Lifestyles model and learned how to do that and where to go to find those vendors and how to vet them. And that's one of the big, most important things you can do when you're going into the renovation side of things is vet those contractors. Get recommendations, get references, and then go out and get multiple bids so that you can compare and contrast those. Make sure that they have proper insurance coverage. And then ask them, what is your process? How much money am I going to have to pay when? If you're working with, let's say, a general contractor, they're going to need to get some materials. So there will probably be some amount that's due at the start of the project so they can source that. Is it 20% of the total amount? 15, 10? That's okay. Maybe some smaller amount. If they come to you asking for 50% or more, forget about it. That's too risky. There's no reason that they need that much up front. And if you understand the process, especially working with hard money, you know that you're going to get your repair escrow that the hard money lender is holding back on your behalf out. You're going to get that out in tranches. He's going to release that to you as the work is done. And you want to time that to those payments that you then make to that contractor. And if they want 50% up front, forget about it, because you're not going to be able to get that till the work is done. If you're not sure about the hard money process, again, go to our website, lifestylesunlimited.com. Search bars at the bottom, type in hard money. Lots of good shows and other articles on our website about that process. Very good way to approach the purchase and renovation of a single family house. You'll have far less money into any given investment if you go that route, as opposed to, say, first of all, paying all cash or even just going conventional and funding those repairs out of your pocket. So, final point on renovating the house is your process and your model, the way that you approach that. And I've been in houses of other investors that are not members at Lifestyles Unlimited. And typically, what do I see? I see the classic lipstick on a pig. Looks decent, but if you look a little close, if you spend a little bit of time and focus on one point for any given time, you're going to see some air. You're going to notice the problems. It wasn't really done right, was it? What do we follow? We follow the model best product, best price. We know we're going to hold this for 3 to 5 years. And to make my life easier in that 3 to 5 year hold period, I want to put the best product on the market. That means going out there and fixing anything that is broken or that could break in that hold period in the next few years. That is the best product. And then when I market it at the best price, I'm going to get the best people in there. Mentioned this on last week's show, that alone will protect you during the hold portion of this transaction. Best product, best people right there. And you're going to get that with the best price as well. So you're going to go out and you're going to renovate the house as part of that timeline. Parallel to that, and you'll learn that if you'll learn this if you go to our 2-day financial freedom seminar. I attended that just a couple weeks ago up here in the Dallas area with David Fisher, and he talks about the timeline and renovating the house, and at the same time marketing it for lease, renting the house, and at the same time really getting things in gear for the refinance. So these three things can move in tandem, and that will shorten your timeline and get you to that hold period. But when it comes to renting the house, that's another piece on that process, on that timeline. What do you need to think about to protect yourself? Well, you're probably going to market this yourself. And here too, David at the Financial Freedom Seminar, the 2-day, talked about ways that you can list that property for lease and how to manage the lease up process. Be aware when you start to put this out in the world, and I've talked to a number of experienced investors, they from time to time will find their listing somewhere else for half price. Scammers have taken that listing and put it on Craigslist for $700 instead of $1,400. They take those pictures, they park them there, they show send someone out to the house. Oh, I couldn't make it. Go ahead and just put down your security deposit. Let's get you in there anyhow. Unfortunately, people, there's a very high demand right now for rentals. Good for us, but people are being taken advantage of as a result of that. So be aware that there can be knockoff listings out there, usually on Craigslist. And what you can do is watermark those pictures that you post on whatever website you're using to advertise that property. Watermark those and put your telephone number on there. That's going to keep them away from your listing. Another thing then, as you go through that lease up process, what is your goal here? You're trying to find that best person. You've got the best product, you're listing it at the best price. And in order to find that best person, those best people for that property, you need to do your due diligence. You did your due diligence at the purchase of your house during that part of the process. Be just as diligent now. And that simply means, that means screening. That means having a resident or tenant selection criteria that is very clearly defined so that you know, I have to stay within these parameters. That is my best person. That is who I'm looking for. What does that mean? That can mean, for example, I need to see in the household 3 times the rent in terms of gross income. So if I'm listing it for $1,500, gross income verifiable, by the way, needs to be $4,500. How do I verify that? Well, up front, when I get that application, I want to see pay stubs that accompany that. Now, am I going to trust just the pay stubs? Trust, but verify? No. I'm going to go out and call the employer. And am I going to call the employer, the telephone number that's given for the employer on the application? No, absolutely not. I'm going to go and find that company, and I'm going to find their local department and go through back avenues. Takes a little more legwork, but it ensures that I'm getting to the right people and not talking to Uncle Joe, who's going to nod his head and say, oh, yeah, $4,500, don't worry. So doing our due diligence, it does take a little legwork, but it pays off. And I can tell you over the years, we've had people stick with us for 6, 7, 8 years with zero issues. We're holding a little bit longer on a couple of properties, so I've really seen this, the way this plays out. And that due diligence on the front end makes a difference. Now you find that best person and you enter the lease. And we talked on last week's show, when it comes to putting a contract on a property, you want to make sure you're working with good documents, a good contract in that example. And that's another way to protect yourself. Well, here too, what are you doing? What is a lease? It's a contract. You are entering into a contract with that resident. So here too, you need to make sure you have a very good document. If you are working with a realtor, they're probably going to use the Texas Association of Realtors lease. Very solid. You can also join one of your local apartment associations. For example, in Dallas, Apartment Association of Greater Dallas, and pull from their lease files. The Texas Apartment Association lease is even more owner friendly. So become a member, become involved, and use their documentation to help protect yourself, because again, good documents are going to go a long way. That is a contract. And finally, as you collect your monies, you've said, hey, you look good. We're going to do a lease. I need to get a security deposit. I need to get other pet fees up front, first month's rent. Until you have an established payment history, you're going to want to stay away from personal checks. When I collect that security deposit, it needs to be cashier's check. It needs to be money order. Never done cash, I guess you could, or maybe one of the immediate payment applications like Zelle is a good way to go. Here too, though, when it comes to that lease up, I mentioned the 2-day financial freedom seminar. David Fisher, he went into this when I attended that a couple weeks ago in depth. And that education, I mean, even though I've been doing this for 10 years, I picked up a few pointers, things that have changed in the market, new ideas, ways to automate certain parts of the process that I had not done so yet. So education is extremely important in addressing all of these parts of any part of the transaction, all the moving parts. You need to be educated as to how they work. When we come back, I'll tell you how to learn more about that 2-day financial freedom seminar. So stick around.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a part of Lifestyles Unlimited? Del Walmsley tells you what to expect when you join us for the next live online free workshop.
We've been here for 30 years. Over 30 years, we've had and or do have roughly 50,000 plus members all over the United States. We have retired tens of thousands of people, and it's just incredible what you're going to find that you're going to be in here. Not only are you going to find the greatest amount of information and education, you're going to find the people, the most open people you've ever met in your entire life.
Come meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited who will help you change your life and empower you to stop depending on a paycheck, your 401k, IRA, or Social Security for your future. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. At the free workshop, we'll teach you the 5 ways to make money with real estate, cash flow, equity capture, appreciation, equity buildup, and the tax advantages. Like Dell says, we'll open our books and show you how the numbers work with both single family and multifamily case studies. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. We're in our final segment today. Final segment in our second show in a two-part series called Protecting Yourself in a Real Estate Transaction. We've just been working our way through the single family timeline. We've gotten through the renovation of the house and renting the house. What do we need to do next? Well, we've bought that house typically, not always, but most commonly with hard money. That's a short-term bridge loan. So now we need to refinance out of that into long-term, fixed-rate, very inexpensive debt, the 30-year stuff, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. Boy, when I started, it was north of 5%. I did a refi not too long ago, came in under 3%. Now, the rates have moved a little bit. The Omicron comes down the pike. Things change. They go up a little bit. They go down a little bit. Inflation is coming. I don't know if you heard, the UK Central Bank, they just raised rates. Is ours going to follow suit? What's that going to do? Don't know, but it's a good time to buy right now. It's a good time to do a cash out refinance if you need to do that. I had to get more money to buy more assets. And I did tell you just ahead of the break, I want to give you a website where you can go to learn more about the two-day financial freedom seminar. If you go to givemetotalfreedom.com, that's all written together, givemetotalfreedom.com, you can read about the financial freedom program, the two-day education course, the two-day seminar that comes along with that. Basically on day one, David, or whoever's your teacher for this, David does here in the Texas area. That's who I was with a couple weeks ago when I attended. He's going to go into single family. He's going to go into these parts of the process in much more detail that we've been working through. And then on day two, he's going to get into multifamily. A lot of people go to day one thinking, I'm going to be the best darn single family investor in the world. And maybe they would have been. But they go to day two, and they just come out chomping at the bit to become the best darn apartment investor they can be. And that's the route they go. So it's an inspirational place to go. And you really do take away a lot of education to help you at any part of the transaction if you decide to go single family, but also coming away realizing, hey, I can buy an apartment complex. A lot of people don't know that. You can do it. You really can. But you'll learn more if you go to givemetotalfreedom.com and use the promo code SAVEBIG. Written together, save big, all caps. That'll give you a two-year membership for a discounted rate. And by the way, when you're there, you'll notice information. It mentions the vendor program. That's part of that program. In an earlier segment, we talked about one of the things you can do to protect yourself when it comes to choosing vendors is knowing where to go to source them. And the vendor program, the vendor hub, is a place I like to start when I'm learning some new trade or just need to refresh the trades I'm working with. So moving along. We've renovated the house, we've rented it, and at the same time, we've kicked off the refinancing process. Well, to be honest with you, not much to say here. You already closed on the house once. We already talked about how that close works in the first show. So really, you should be old hat at this. Again, here, I would just underscore, you want to close at a title company. Now, every lender is going to require that you do that. Just be careful with the wiring instructions and how you handle that. Last segment of the first show, we talked about wire fraud and how to protect yourself there. So I'm not going to rehash that. Congratulations. You've gotten through that initial stabilization of the property. You bought it. You did your due diligence. You did the repairs. You rented it out. You've done the refinance. You are now firmly in the hold period. What's going on there? Well, and this could apply to you whether we're talking about a rental house or even your personal house. And I talked about this on last week's show as well. I hear this a lot on the radio, advertisements for title protection, because there is a growing crime out there where fraudsters, thieves are going to the county. They're filing a what's called a quit claim deed, and they're basically taking claim to the title of your property. And once they've done that, they go out and they try to get a mortgage on that property. You'll hear a lot of stuff that says you're responsible for, don't worry about that, not the case. But the big thing I want you to take away is that a lot of the counties out there, a lot of the county clerks will offer free property fraud alerts. I know Dallas does, I know Tarrant County does. Go to their websites, go to the county clerk website and see if yours has that. If they don't, let's say you're in Bexar County, down to San Antonio, reach out to them and say, hey, you know, Tarrant has this awesome program I heard about, free fraud protection. Basically, what happens is if somebody tries to file in your name, you will get an email and an easy link to the document so you can go quick check. Okay, it says Jennifer Webb, that's my wife. I got one of these over the weekend, literally, and they tend to come in waves because somebody's out there selling a house. Well, what happens? There's a warranty deed is filed, release of lien from their lender is filed, something else gets filed. So I get these emails in waves. I click the link. Okay, that's Property X over there, not one of ours. Very easy to check without having to pay an arm and a leg for the service. So it is free. That's one thing that you can think about during the hold period, making sure you retain title, right? Bigger thing, though, I think, is just being a good operator, running a good business. And that's, again, one of the things that you'll learn how to do as part of the education at Lifestyles Unlimited. Now, a question I get a lot is, should I put my property into an LLC, a limited liability corporation, for purposes of protection? Not really. You know, when we're talking about single family houses, the best thing you can do is operate well. When you put the best product out there, you're not worried about liability from faulty equipment in the house or shoddy workmanship because you've put the best product together and you manage it. You have classic management style. You're a good operator, and that's going to keep you above water as well, keeping things repaired. And above that, we talked a little bit about insurance, and I think Lee goes into this on the radio show I did with him as well. Put a good umbrella insurance policy in place. What that is liability insurance, like an umbrella that goes over all of your assets. And generally, you want that to match your net worth. If your net worth is $1 million, well, get a liability policy for $1 million. So if somebody ever goes after you, well, your insurance policy steps up. They cover you. If your net worth grows, as it will, as you when you become a real estate investor, becomes $2 million, we'll up that to $2 million, $3 million, and so on. Now, I want to shift gears. We just have a few minutes left. We've been talking about the single family timeline. We've found the house. We made the offer, got it under contract, closed, renovated, rent, refinanced. We've held it for 3 to 5 years. By the way, disposition comes at the end. Hey, just like before, you're going to close on that sale at a title company. Be careful with wire fraud and all that good stuff. But you've sold it. Congratulations. And you've now rolled that into other properties. Or you're going to take those funds. If you're like my wife and I, when we started, we needed to build capital to get into multifamily. Well, that's what we've been doing now, finally. So what does it look like when it comes time to shift gears from single family and start investing in apartments as a passive investor? I'm not going to get into the lead side or operating as an independent rental owner of your own small multifamily. We do those at Lifestyles Unlimited as well, but a lot of people come on board working full-time jobs, don't have the time to do those things, but do have the capital and the desire to become passive investors. And again, we go into that in day two at the Financial Freedom Seminar. You can go to givemetotalfreedom.com to learn more about that seminar. But what does it take, or what do you need to think about as you start to shift gears like I did, or maybe you just start out as a passive when it comes to protecting yourself in a real estate transaction? Because there are things to think about here as well. And I'll tell you one thing that I love about Lifestyles Unlimited. The organization works very hard to establish protections for passive investors. They understand that you may be coming at the start of this process, at the start of your investing track or career, with a little less capital, and you need to build that out. Maybe you have limited that you're deploying at first. We want to help you protect that. And Lifestyles Unlimited publishes a white paper. In fact, that was just revised recently. We had webinars in live presentations, in fact, as well, about the new white paper. But what that does is the white paper sets out certain standards for syndicators, what we call lead investors at Lifestyles Unlimited. Those are the investors that are the project managers that are, if I think about that transaction timeline for single family, they're the ones that are out there finding, offering, contracting, managing, all of the stuff that we talked about. Those are the leads. And the white paper sets out certain standards for them. Just a classic example, and you will not see this if you go outside of Lifestyles Unlimited. The white paper in our case says, hey, no acquisition fee. What is an acquisition fee? Well, the acquisition fee is a percentage, let's say 1%, for simply closing on that investment. So let's look at this. Let's think about this for a second, because I personally, when I go into an investment as a passive, I like to see that the lead has skin in the game. Let's say it's a $20 million purchase and the lead says, hey, I'm putting $200,000 in type A shares, the type I buy, into the deal. All right, $200,000 skin in the game. But if they have a 1% acquisition fee on a $20 million purchase, that is $200,000. They immediately have their money right back out, don't they? No longer have skin in the game. A white paper says, hey, no acquisition fee. That serves to protect me. That's one of the things you can do to protect yourself in a real estate transaction as a passive investor, is make sure you're working within an organization that does work for you. And above that, you know, education, again, is hugely important. Learning how to read the private placement memoranda, all the documentation and the marketing material, everything that goes into any given transaction. You want to become educated around that. You know, Lifestyles Unlimited hosted a four-part series on that very topic, on reading the private placement memoranda. Four evenings I sat there and learned how to read these very important documents. I'm telling you, education and mentoring, that really is the biggest way to protect yourself when you start, so that you are informed and know what you are doing. Get educated on the process, find a mentor, go back and listen to both parts of this show, go out to our two-day financial freedom seminar. All of that education is going to feed you and help you protect yourself along the way. Hey, I thank you for listening. You've been listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. If you want to learn more, go to lifestylesunlimited.com. Thank you for listening today. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. You have a good day.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.